You know, folks, I'm getting some.
How about those friggin' pirates?
Yes, I am a pirate.
You have to go with the pirates because, of course, they have cannons and everything.
It's a pirate's life for me.
Be proud of who you are and what you are. You're a pirate.
This is a first down. Pirate.
Because when you're at East Carolina, you go for it every time. Or you don't coach at East Carolina, you don't come to East Carolina, you don't play at East Carolina with a weak heart. Write it!
I think I've ever been in a building as loud as that was. It was deafening in there.
You better go to Omaha. I can promise you that.
Painted purple all night long in Eastern North Carolina!
You're watching The Sports Objective, the podcast for Pirates.
All right, welcome in to the Sports Objective Sunday night. We're having a lot of fun here as we have people that obviously may be vacationing. Some of the fellows are, and so we wanted to have a show tonight with you. And so this show is all about you. On purpose, we did not schedule a guest tonight as we want to make this show where we're having fun. It's summertime, less than 2 months away, 56 days, you might as well say 55 days away from our great game, and that'll be August 31st right there if you're watching the show in Dowdy-Ficklin Stadium. Hard to believe August 31st will be here before you know it. So I don't know about you, but I'm like so ready for Pirate football, and I want to be with my friends, my Pirate friends, if you will, in Pirate Nation tonight and spend some time with you. So we thought, hey, let's do that, and we're going to have a lot of fun between now and however long you want to stay on. We'll this was the one thing I had planned, is do the show with you. So glad if you have a question or comment tonight, you can obviously put them right here in the comment section and Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and we'll get those X, I guess it is now, and we'll do that. By the way, hello to Chuck. Chuck, what's going on? He makes a great point. Chuck says, former East pitcher, how about this? Jeff Hoffman of the Phillies, he's made the All-Star team. I heard that earlier tonight at dinner, so very, very cool. No doubt about that. Hello to Brandon. Hadn't heard from you in a while, Brandon. He says, good evening, Dave, and the rest of the crew. If they join, we'll see. We'll see if they do, but no doubt about it. Elliot says, hey, Dave, hope all is well. Can you give us a rundown on the QB situation, offensive line, D-line, how things are going? I think pretty much, from what I understand, I think it's a pretty healthy quarterback situation as far as a competition. And, you know, it's one of those things. I think I haven't heard recently, but my guess is that they're going to hold that competition very close to the best, so to speak. And we'll see offensive line and D-line. D-line is looking very, very good, obviously, and that, you know, the defense is rock solid, so we'll be there. I am hearing good things about the offensive line, so we'll see how that goes. And the new coach, we'll talk to him on Media Day and all the coaches for that matter, and we'll have all that right here for you like we always do. Looking forward to that. It's going to be a lot of fun middle of August usually, so we'll see how that goes. But great question, Elliot. Thank you so much. Shell Powell, what's up, Dave, from the Queen City? Man, Shell is my brother from a different mother. Appreciate you so much for joining us. In fact, Shell, son Randy, Charlotte Catholic, man, I'll tell you one thing, unbelievable schedule they got coming up, and they just do a lot of great things at that school. And for those of you that don't know, I live in Martin County in Williamston, and I think we said in our last show, but we are now consolidated to one high school. It's Martin County High School in Williamston, the old Williamston High or Riverside High, depending on what area you come from. And we are now the Gators. So the Martin County High School Gators is the new one. So we'll see that. So Elliot says, saw that we're playing Clemson in a few years. That'll be good exposure for us. Yeah, in fact, that's 2029. Labor Day 29, you're going to be Clemson, South Carolina. For everybody in Pirate Nation, save up your pennies and dimes and nickels and dollars for that one. And one of our newest members of the team, Christian Bateman. Let's go, Dave. What's up, Christian? Glad to have him a part of the team, a correspondent. And he's working hard behind the scenes, especially basketball and baseball, helping us out and be a contributor to the show. So appreciate that for it. And there is, I think, an unofficial, we'll have to, there is a logo yet for the Martin County High School Gators. And I have to put my hands on if I do tonight or somebody else does. We have the best audience in the whole wide world. I'm not being patronizing. I really mean that. Then send it to me. But right now, I don't have it at my disposal. So nothing like doing live broadcasting for sure, streaming. We're always, for those listening, our traditional podcast is anywhere you want to listen to your favorite podcast. But those of you that like the streaming live, we're on Facebook, YouTube, and X right now. So put your questions in, again, in the comment section. We'd love to have you a part of the show. Big crowd already. Thank you so much. As we're kind of like Cheers, where everybody knows your name. A lot of people join in. And just want to get your thoughts on Pirate football. Maybe some of you are like me, and we're trying to get ready for prime time when it comes to tailgating. Is there some tips you can help us out there? You know, that's one of those summertime topics we talk about, in addition to how's the team going to look. So we're going to try to get Phil Steele on the show, as we told you, spoiler alert, that some of his models have us going 10-2. And would that be the ultimate turnaround? You're 2-10 last year. And 2023, and then this year in 24, you're 10-2. How about that? How about this, Chuck? I did not know this. Hey, Chuck and Shell, Charlotte Catholic is his alma mater, Chuck's. Chuck, I've known you for via the show here 2 or 3 years. I did not know that. So you and Shell need to hook up, because his son Randy goes there. Some of you know. Friends of the show, that Shell's son is a tremendous athlete. I misspoke one night and said he was a baseball player, which he does not play baseball, but he's the kind of kid that he's a tremendous athlete. So if he did play baseball, he would be good at that too. All right, let's see. Hello to Dennis. Dennis tonight. Have the Pirates ever played Elizabeth City State? That is a good question. We've obviously Central. We have... as far as HBCUs, and of course the embarrassing, not embarrassing as far as A&T, but we shouldn't lose that. So we lost in 2018, the money game, their coach there and said, show me the money. You remember that? So anyway, and as Shell said, yes, I know Randy plays football, basketball, and lacrosse. I just misspoke that particular night on the show. So where's Kyle? Kyle is doing well. He had surgery a couple weeks ago and doing well, but it was one of those things where it's going to take about 6 weeks to recover. He said if he felt up to it, he would come on. So we'll see. I would love to have, obviously, Kyle on. The guys are on vacation. So anyway, I just wanted to have fun with you guys tonight. I know that, let's see, Elliot's saying, Dave, update on the indoor practice facility. Have they started, and how much more money do we need to raise? They have not started. We are still, as of a week or two ago, we were at $3 million. I think we've raised $21 million and we need $24. And the baseball expansion, that project, we are down to less than $500,000 on that one. Very close on breaking ground on that one. And everybody just needs to pony up. And $3 million is very close, man. Not in, as far as us, $3 million is a lot, but when you think about all the Pirates chipping in $100, $200, $500, whatever, we can make that happen for sure. All right, let's see. Updates on Pirate Club sales this year. We'll have to find out for you, Elliot, and if we do another show this week. We're kind of doing one show a week right now during the summer, not a lot going on, but if we do another show this week, I promise I'll find out tomorrow. And we'll let you know the next show, whenever that is. All right, let's see. Irving says, good to see you up and running tonight. Hoping the addition of Clemson, the start of a badly needed out-of-conference schedule of an upgrade. And we're hearing about the rumors about, we told you guys about, we're hearing rumors, and we checked again with our good friend Stephen Igo. We'd like to give him credit from Hoist the Colors. Nobody's sure right now whether it's a home and home. But wouldn't it be cool to have Northwestern come here? I think so. I think there's my thing that I've always said is I'm a huge fan of, believe it or not, John Gilbert and Ryan Robinson. I've said as far as scheduling that this is what we wanted to see. And so, hey, the Clemson game, we love that. So kudos to John Gilbert on that. And if the home and home, if that is what it is, I'll preface it that because I really don't know. I'm not one of these talking heads that pretends to know everything. As you know, I'm one of you guys. But if that is true, that will be a huge coup for the Gilbert, for this administration. And to me, that's the kind of games we need to look for. Hey, if it's MAC, if it's Big 12, if it's SEC, Vanderbilt, I mean, there's all kinds of schools, group of five opponents that we should be playing on there. And so we know that to be fair to Gilbert and company at the Ward Sports Medicine Building, we understand that that is very difficult. Scheduling is not the way it used to be. We're not saying that, but we would like to see more, some of the G5 matchups that we could see maybe from the Sun Belt, from we talked about the SEC. We talked about the, hey, the ACC, you know, will sell very well here. So we'll see that for sure. Do we have a person that surfaced as the alpha on the defense? She'll ask. I'll have to ask about that. Not really sure on that. That's a question that we can ask definitely for you, Shell, a man on the street kind of question at media day and next month. And I'll ask around if anybody knows that, and I'll definitely get back to you. I sound like a good politician, but that's the truth. I haven't really heard. So we will get the 3 million. Let's break ground tomorrow. Geez, Elliot says, amen to that. That's one thing that a lot of people in Pirate Nation and the Pirate Club have said, let's go ahead and break ground. And I mean, if we were, let's say the project we know is 24 million, if we just started, I would be nervous, but we're extremely close. And I think there's a lot of people right now that even though it's more of a reality than it was a year or two ago, it's still kind of, and I don't mean this to cheapen it, but when I say pipe dream, I'm just simply meaning it's not that it's not going to happen. When I say pipe dream, it's still not tangible because we haven't broke ground. Not being critical of the administration, just want to say that very clear, very carefully. I actually like the guys a lot. This show is never meant to be shock jock, like the growing up with Howard Stern, those guys back in the day, the morning zoos of the world that used to make fun of people or all that. That's not what we're all about here. What we're about here is we're open and honest with you guys, and you guys are too, and ladies that join the show, appreciate that very much. But anyway, I want to make that very clear. We don't come on the show to make enemies or to make people mad. And, dude, that's not what we're about. We've never been about that and we never will be. We don't make fun of competition and stuff like that. Irving says great news on Northwestern. If it happens, absolutely, Irving. I think that's, very, very true there. Let's see. Chuck says he likes the game, even if it's one game, game away. Chicago, nice place to visit in late summer. Hey, I love Chicago. Are you kidding me? I love Chicago. I've never been, always wanted to. It's a bucket list city, if you will, for travel. So I'm all about that for sure. Let's see. Christian says, wonder what IJ Poole's responsibility will be as assistant coach. We'll see for sure about that. And Christian is very big with basketball and certainly baseball and a great contributor to show coming up. Definitely late fall and winter when we have basketball and then the spring and early summer for baseball. Can't wait, my friend. But right now we definitely are hitting it hard with football for sure. Elliot says he thinks the indoor practice facility will help with recruiting. Just his opinion. Make it the best in the country. Don't have to worry about heat and cold and can have a loud crowd noise. Now we have absolutely, he said, right now we have nothing. Hit the thumbs up, everyone. who's the other kid playing summer ball for the Pirates you're most excited about? So we appreciate, obviously, Parker Byrd. Christian was there at the game. Was that Friday night or Saturday night? I can't remember. But he actually said that Parker went 3 for 5. Help me out, Christian, but I think it was 3 for 5. And he went to that game in Elizabeth City. The Skippers in the old North State League. And it's I love that league, being able to see it. But Parker Byrd, doing great things. Really proud of him. And he's a great dude. And certainly it's a great story, man. He's doing well. And I believe he's playing third base for the South Pauls in New Bern. So if you're anywhere near New Bern or you look at the schedule, he plays for the New Bern South Pauls. So make sure that you check that out. But man, there's so much great baseball, and we love talking baseball for sure this time of year when it comes to that. Let's see. I think our good buddy is going to be coming on, Kyle, in a matter of minutes. So great to it'll be great to have him back. Elliot says, how many players are jockeying for QB? Are the freshman or sophomore or what? The two transfers are going at it right now, and those are the two that that we are knowing about, Garcia being one of them. And we're going to have a great QB. We got to have a great QB, no doubt about it, for sure. Let's see. All the boards I'm reading about the offense is really buying into JDB's system. Blake Carroll said they play fast and they really keep us on our toes. Good problem to have right now. Ladies and gentlemen, let's welcome in our good buddy, Kyle from LaGrange Barber. What's up, dude?
What's going on, Dave? Pirate Nation. Been a long effing week. Had surgery a week ago Friday. Massive, massive hernia repair surgery for an abdominal wall hernia. Got a 20 by 30 mesh inside of me now. Well, wow. Let me tell you something. I had colorectal cancer and had a colon resection, and this has kicked my ass way worse than that surgery. This has not been a fun week, and not fun weeks to come. But anyway, what's going on, guys? Pirate football just around the corner as we're sitting here post 4th of July. To me, once you get past 4th of July, it starts to feel like football season. You know, you got media days coming up. SEC media days always kicks it off, and American media days are the 22nd, something like that. And so Pirate football is just around the corner. Phil Steele's out. You know, I don't know if that's been discussed. He's high on the Pirates as the most improved team in all of college football this year. All six of his sets of power rankings call for us to go to a bowl. One of us calls for us to be 10-2. But he, you know, I'm all over the place. I want to jump in too hard, but non-conference schedule is a lot harder than people give it credit for. Particularly, look, Appalachian State and Liberty are two of the favorites, you know, to make the playoffs this year in the new format. Yep. So the schedule is a lot harder, particularly non-conference, than people give it credit for.
No doubt, man. I tell you what, it's going to be a great journey, and I can't wait. In fact,
Old Dominion game is key to me. Well, if you pull off an upset against App or Liberty and you lose the ODU game, then it don't matter so much. But to stay on schedule, to me, that ODU game week two is going to be key.
Really quick, Shell says, hey, Kyle, speedy recover, my friend.
Appreciate it.
Chiming in. This is, you know, our good buddy Craig. He's got to give you a hard time, bro. Kyle, did you get the hernia doing curls for the girls?
Shit, I got the hernia because of the previous surgery, because my abdominal wall was weakened, during recovery for that. And it was so big, man. It was, you know, at my weight, hernia repair surgery is not normally recommended at all, but my hernia was so damn big. It was literally, like I said, I got 20 by 30 mesh in me. That's
unbelievable.
Yeah. And you can prevent it. It's going to take some getting used to. It is a weird sensation. With the abdominal binder on that I have to wear for 3 months, it's pretty painful, but when I take it off, less painful, but I literally can tell, you know what it feels like? It feels like there's a big piece of mesh holding back my intestines. So, I mean, the size of the hernia was out of control, so I had to get the surgery. But appreciate the well wishes, and didn't get any hernia from doing curls for any girls.
That's a better story, right, my friend?
Yeah, it would have been.
McLean Anderson, I think the first time I've seen that name, so thank you, McLean. Keep your head up, Kyle.
I appreciate it, man. Appreciate it.
No doubt about that. In fact, let's see. In fact, McLean says, have to beat ODU. I'll probably be there. Easy road trip. That's one of the things I want to talk about, Kyle, tonight, because it's a summer topic. But how cool is it this year that you have ODU? I'll probably be at that game. Liberty, going to that game. I don't know about the Charlotte game, but that's close. That's not too far away. We're talking about, you know, with the we've got the Army trip you were going to. Sports Objective will be definitely there for that one. But there's a lot of cool games this year on the schedule based on proximity, or like the Army game, which is a bucket list. You got to go, like we, like I did the Big House last year.
Yeah. You got, like you said, Old Dominion's obviously no time, you know, from where you are in Eastern North Carolina, an hour and a half to 2.5 hours up the road. You got, Liberty's a few hours up the road in Lynchburg, Virginia. You got, Army, you know, I don't know how long it is to West Point, New York, or New York City, but it's drivable.
About 10 hours, I think.
Yeah, a place where everybody wants to go. You know, it ain't the Sun Belt in terms of regionality, but it's one thing you can give Gilbert, I guess, credit for. He wants a regional non-conference schedule that's travel-friendly for the fans, and we got that with the couple of the games in Lynchburg and in Norfolk.
Craig makes a great point. He says, small stadium, make sure you get your tickets early. I was going to mention and talk about that for
about Liberty.
No, he's talking about ODU.
I don't think ODU will sell out.
Drew better as an FCS.
They are coming off of a bowl from last year. A lot of people don't realize that. A lot of people, you know, third ODU game is a win. I think it's a must win. They did lose quite a bit off last year's team. I don't know how they did in the portal. But they were a bowl team last year. Beat App State at home last year in Norfolk. So that game is no gimme. Also, you know, have early season upset wins over Virginia Tech a couple of times in that stadium. So that game ain't no gimme by any means. I mean, we were 2-10 last year. Everybody's got us circled as a win right now. That, you know, haven't been following what we've done in the portal and the changes we made on staff. The ODU game, yeah, he is right, though, small stadium. I doubt it'll sell out, but, yeah, I'd get my tickets. Now, Liberty, I'd be even more. I don't know what Liberty Stadium holds. I'm assuming not much over 30,000. That would be the one I would think will probably sell out.
Yeah, I'll have to look at that again. Justin says, what's going on, guys?
And, what's up, Justin?
He's going to go to all the games. Except probably Tulsa. And by the way, I've been trying to broker a deal with Justin. As you know, Kyle, you're going to be able to ride with them on one away game. So we're going to make that happen. Right. Come on, Justin. I'm putting you on the spot, bro. But Kyle is awesome, as you know. And maybe we can get some video and have that on social media. But I just think Kyle's a cool dude. And I think that it would be fun to have Kyle along for the trip. And Kyle, you and I are Bubba.
He's pounding down, loaded up and trucking. We're gonna do what they say can't be done. We got it. We're gonna have to listen to trucker songs the whole time. We're gonna have to, you know, we're gonna have Jerry Reed and Red Savine and shit. That's all I got. Jerry Reed and Red Savine.
Convoy, right? A great song.
Yeah, that was by Convoy. That was what would that? Some DJ did.
Emily McCall. Am I right on that? Anyway, help me out there for sure, guys.
Rubber Duck was by a DJ.
Rubber Duck?
Is that Convoy? Is that the same song?
Convoy. I'll have to listen to
it. Rubber Duck, some crap. I don't, you know.
Dave Dudley.
We gotta be no Convoy.
Yeah. But Dave Dudley, 6 Days on the Road. I like that.
I like Steve Earle's version of 6 Days on the Road.
Oh, man, I'll have to check that out. I've never heard that. Yep. I like him. All right, here's a football question. Dave or Skip or anyone else, how do you see a big difference in offensive line play, offensive call playing this year?
Well, we're changing formations, not formations, we're changing schemes, going more of an air raid. So it's in terms of calls, I think it's going to be a lot more pass heavy. It's still going to be RPO based from what I understand. But I would expect to see a lot more aggressive play calling. The tempo of which we play is going to increase significantly. So the play calls will be coming a lot faster. But I guess you're asking in terms of plays, actual plays, I would expect to see a lot more passing plays and just more aggressive in general than we were in the last few years.
And how about this? Great point.
More involvement from the tight end, I would think, also based on what JDB's done.
How about this from McLean, representing nicely tonight? If the offense is a top 50 offense, we will have 9 wins or more, assuming reasonably healthy. And McLean, I hope that as Phil Steele, as we talked about, that's the third time now, 10-2 is what he's seen on some of his models for computers. I hope those computer, I never thought I would say this, Kyle, but I hope those computer models are right, because most of the time the models are, anyway, not.
Yeah, one of his models called for us to be 10-2. I don't think we'll go 10-2, but.
No.
It's possible. I'm going 7-5 still, but 8-9 wins. If we do that in the regular season, that would be a huge success after last year. So I think it's going to depend a lot on our toughest stretch of the season, at least preseason on paper, is going to be the 3-game stretch with Appalachian State, Liberty, and UTSA.
Absolutely.
Appalachian, favorite to win the Sun Belt. Liberty, a favorite to win Conference USA. Both, considered favorite to be the so-called Group of Five representative in the 12-team playoff. And then UTSA, most people have Memphis or Tulane winning the American. Phil Steele actually likes UTSA to win the American. So even though they're replacing their quarterback, which, that kid was, there for 7 years and fantastic. They got everything else coming back. So as long as they, I think a kid like that's harder to replace than, maybe Phil Steele's giving him credit for. Because, I know when he went down with injury, they weren't nowhere near the team they right. were with him. So we'll see. But on paper, that is a tough 3-game stretch. So let's just say, for giggles, that we're 2-0. Let's say, we beat Norfolk State and then we go up to ODU and handle our business and we're 2-0. So those next three, do we win one of those three? Do we win two of those three? If we win all three of them, then good God. But if we're 2-0, the key is to at least go to me. A lot of people can go, what? But if we're 2-0 to start the season against Norfolk State and Old Dominion, if we go 1-2 against App, UTSA, Liberty, then we're 3-2 as we're getting into October. And we'll be in good shape, I think, to win 8 games. If we do better than that, if we beat Old Dominion and Norfolk State and then can take 2 of 3 from App, Liberty, UTSA, then, that 10-win prognostication could come to fruition. I think 3-game really is a 4-game stretch that's going to be the key to our season, I think, in terms of not if we go to a bowl, but in terms of how good we can be, it really starts at the ODU game. So you might as well say 4-game stretch because that's a important game based on the 3 teams we have to follow. And also from a confidence standpoint and to get this fan base back engaged. Beating Norfolk State is not going to do anything for the fan base. I don't know that beating ODU will do as much for the fan base as it should, but For some fans, seeing us go beat Old Dominion, beat an FBS team, go ahead and match last year's win total, first right. 2 games of the year, and just think of the atmosphere for the App State game. Yeah, if we're 2-0 with App coming in here for a 4:00 kickoff on ESPNU, it'll be a big time.
Great point there. I want to give a shout out to Skip. He's putting so many great points up there. And if you're and he's on YouTube tonight, but thank you, Skip, very much. It's great to have Kyle. We have a huge crowd tonight, as you would expect, because Kyle and I, it's like, and all the guys here on the show, it's like this time of year, it's after July 4th. This is kind of like for us, we're ready to play, but we know that the team is not ready. But it's still, I'm chomping at the bit, Kyle. You talk about the preseason magazines are out. You've got the tailgating, people are getting ready for that, talking about that. You've got the people looking at that schedule like we have. And like you said, people make sure that you Get your tickets. By the way, 1-800-DIAL-ECU. It looks like at the very worst will match last year's total at 15,000. And I just want to say this about that. People say, well, maybe, you know, 15,000, Dave, is nothing to brag about. And I hear you. But considering we went 10, the 15,000 to me looks very, very good, because that sets us up nicely where we didn't lose money on that, and it could have been way worse. And you know what? Next year, those of us that have season tickets will tell people, you should have got the time to get your season tickets. And, you know, once again, we talk about it all the time, Kyle, but go ahead and get your season tickets. Some people don't, because it's not a brand name, so to speak, on the schedule. But I think there's some people that don't realize that's how we fund our athletic program for the most part, especially in the older days. I know there's different revenue streams now, but we need to have football healthy. So to help, if you're a fan of any Olympic sport that we have, please buy season tickets. That helps your cause.
Yeah, no, we need to sell as many season tickets as we can. And I think coming off of a 2-10 season, it's hard to sell season tickets, particularly when you don't have a so-called Power 5 opponent. There's no ACC opponent.
Right.
In here, you know, App State is a draw. You look at the schedule, who's coming here that really is a draw? App State, and then I would say Navy to close the season.
Yeah.
So there's not a lot of draws on the schedule. But, you know, I like watching the Pirates win, and hopefully we'll get to see us do that a few more times this year. And we damn sure better. I'll tell you what, if they're smart, if we somehow beat App week three in Greenville, hopefully Gilbert is got the mini plans ready to be on sale that night. If we pull that one off week three.
No doubt. I'll tell you one thing, Kyle. A lot of people have been asking me at work, and people I know, I really believe, and I don't know how you feel, Kyle, but I'm cautiously optimistic. But I believe we're a bowl team. It's a matter of not if we're going to be a bowl team, is how many wins. Do you feel that way? Is it fair to say that?
I think coming off of last year with two wins, I won't say 100% sure we're a bowl team, but we should be. My projection is still 7 wins. I'm not gonna, you know, jump on the Phil Steele bandwagon just yet and say 8, 9, 10 wins, but I think, you know, 8, 9 wins is possible. We should be a bowl team, based on the defense we have coming back, because our defense was good last year, based on the people we brought in from the portal, some guys with some age on them, another year on them. You know, a lot of people are concerned about the O-line. I'll say this. We have the entire O-line back from last year. They're going to have another year of experience. We did bring in the kid from, was it Maine? Some FCS school.
Oh, yeah.
That's done well, or did well in the spring. And the new O-line coach is very well thought of, extremely well thought of. So I think the pieces are there for us to have a surprisingly good season.
No doubt about it. In fact, Elliot says, Dave, ask Kyle who he thinks we'll lose to. Please ask Kyle. He says, so you think 7-5?
My 7-5 is just to be conservative. Who I think we'll lose to, I don't know. If you have me off the top of my head, if I'm going to say seven and five, I'd probably say App, Liberty, UTSA.
That Navy game, the last game of the season, man, is a scary one.
And then I'd have to look at the schedule, you know, to pick out two more. But, you know, I'm just being conservative. We were 2-10 last year. I mean,
like Skip said, Navy is always a quagmire. You're right, Skip.
Yeah, Navy definitely is. But it's in Greenville this year, last game of the regular season. You know, who knows what that game could mean at the time. You know, could that be for bowl eligibility? I hope not. Could that be for win number 7, 8, 9, 10? You know, who knows? But in terms of who do I think we'll lose to, I don't really have a definite 5 losses. And when I'm making that 7-5 prediction, you know, I'm not etching that in stone. Well, you know, last year we lost to Charlotte. Keep that in mind. Yeah. We lost to anybody and everybody. So, while I expect us to be greatly improved this year, you're going to have to show me first. And, quite frankly, you know, who do I think we'll lose to? Well, you know, okay, well, let's go over the things real fast. And Dave, can you bring the schedule up?
I'll see if I can. We can definitely talk about it.
You don't have to put it on the screen. Just bring it up where you, can't remember in order.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I've got it. I've got it right here. Hang on 1 second. I've got it right now. Okay. So the first game is, of course, everybody knows August the 31st, that Saturday night. It's on ESPN Plus, Norfolk State.
Okay. When?
All right. Then we go in the great state of Virginia.
Old Dominion. See, Old Dominion was a bowl team. 6 wins last year from the Sun Belt Conference. Now, people go, they played in the Sun Belt. Yeah, well, Sun Belt is arguably better than the American. They beat App State last year. Again, ODU, 6 win football team last year. We won 2 games.
Next, it's a 50-50 game, right?
Next.
Third game is Appalachian State.
App won 8 or 9 last year. They won their division of the Sun Belt. They've got everybody and their brother back. They're favored to win the Sun Belt this year. They'll be favored to win to beat us in that ball game. Again, this is a 9-win football team from last year who's favored to win the Sun Belt this year. Then after that, we have Liberty. Liberty was 13-0 last year. Best won team. Conference USA. Lost to Oregon in the was it Sugar Bowl, Orange Bowl, Fiesta Bowl.
Fiesta.
So that was a 13-win football team last year. Again, right. We won 2 games. UTSA the following week. They were an 8-win football team last year. So again, we were a 2-win football team. UTSA won 8. Who's after that?
It's your favorite school at Charlotte on the 5th of
Charlotte beat us last year. Charlotte, and by the way, I was reading in Phil Steele today. They brought in 20 or 40 more players from the friggin' portal. So they're going to have even more. I think they were all Power 5. So they're going to be even more talented. And Charlotte beat us last year. Now, we better damn well beat Charlotte this year, but Charlotte beat us last year.
And then we go on the road. We have a bye week on the 12th. Then we are at Army. High noon.
Army last year, 6-6. 6-win football team last year. They went 6-6. Didn't go to a bowl because 2 of those wins were over FCS opponents.
Oh yeah,
But a 6-6 football team last year. We won 2 games, and that's in West Point. Next,
so the Halloween game, if you will, October the 26th is Greenville home. We're hosting Charlotte. Listen to me, hosting Temple.
Temple wasn't a good football team last year. Probably won't be very good this year either. That's one that I would go ahead and say it's a surefire win unless something unexpected happens. Everything else I'm pretty much saying is 50-50 or advantage the other team.
All right, and then we have 2 Thursday nights games back-to-back. The first one is home. This is one that I have as a question mark. It's a 50-50 game hosting Florida Atlantic.
We beat Florida Atlantic last year down there. This is year number 2 for
Tom Herman.
I'm sure he did a good job in the portal. I expect Florida Atlantic to be a lot better. But, you know, it's the team we beat last year. It's a game that we should win. But not a gimme.
Right. That's what, yeah.
Tom Herman's a hell of a coach.
Yes, he is. And a hell of a recruiter, too. Then we go on the 14th, the second Thursday night game in the row. I'm not a Thursday night guy. Is at Tulsa.
Yeah, we owe Tulsa. We owe Tulsa from last year. We owe Tulsa from several years ago. Not an easy place to play on a Thursday night. There will be nobody there.
It'll be 10 people.
Tulsa beat us last year. This is year number 2 for I can't think of his name. North Carolina grad, former Indiana head coach. Not a fan of that guy at all. But again, not an easy game. They beat us last year.
No doubt. And then we have, because it's a Thursday night game, we'll have a like 9 days after that. So maybe that's a good thing. At North Texas.
Yeah, North Texas. I don't even know what they did last year.
I can't remember.
But if I'm – So I need to do some investigating on North Texas to make an intelligent comment on that game. But it is in Denton, Texas. So long road trip out to the Dallas-Fort Worth area to play the Mean Green. So won't be an easy game, but one that I would think we should win.
They were 5-7 last year, 3-5 in the conference.
Yeah, there you go.
And they won their last two, by the way. So there you have it. But that's North Tech. And then the last game, Kyle, is Thanksgiving weekend. And let me just say this real quick about I love our student section. I do. That's going to be a Friday game or a Saturday game, depending on they're going to announce it. It says October the 14th. But that game after, and I'm not saying because I'm old man here, but when we had games in Dowdy-Ficklin and I was a student and it was after Thanksgiving, we went to those games. You know, you eat.
I think it depends on how much meaning it has. You know, I can remember playing Southern Miss for the Eastern Division of Conference USA on Thanksgiving weekend and it being packed back in 08. So, or 09, whatever year it was, 09. But,
yep.
So it just depends on what kind of meaning the game has. So the point is the schedule's not as easy as people make it out to be when you really break it down. You know, when I say 7-5, I'm not, you know, saying, well, we're going to win these seven, we're going to lose these five. I'm just, you know, being realistic based on what we did last year and what other people did last year. Now, I realize how well we worked the portal. I realize the changes we made on staff. I don't know. You know, I haven't done a deep dive in everybody to see how well everybody else has worked the portal outside of Charlotte, who I read today. You know, again, Biff, you know, took pretty much half of the FBS from the portal, apparently, again this year. So, I'm going 7-5, and hopefully we'll do better. But
he's so poor that I'm actually starting a GoFundMe if you'll give some money towards it, Kyle, so he can afford T-shirts because his T-shirts are all ripped up and cut up and all that. So I was hoping we could start a GoFundMe. What do you think?
Yeah, no, he looks like a bum. But I he beat us last year, so no, and exactly what Craig is saying there is absolutely right. That's kind of my point. Everybody is saying ECU was 2-10 last year, but we are not a 2-10 like Holton said. We're not a 2-10 football program. I really believe we're going to be a pretty good football team this year. And I'm not everybody, if you know me, I'm not a blow smoke, positive guy. I think some of our fans that just seem to think that for whatever friggin' reason, look at our schedule and go, oh, we're going to win 9 or 10 games. Who do we play? Well, analyze the schedule a little bit better.
Who is that? Who is that guy you just did? Is that a person?
Just generic dumbass.
I love it.
A generic dumbass. We're going to win 9 or 10. I mean, look at the schedule we play. We don't play anybody. Well, goddamn, we were 2-10 last year. Pretty much everybody we play this year had a better record than us last year.
Yep.
Think about that.
5-7 was a good year, you know, but that would have been a great year for us.
Yeah. Based on last year. Yeah.
Which is really sad. Let's see here. Oh, here's one for you.
To be clear, I do think we're going to be good this year. I want to make that very clear.
Yeah, Irving says, please, John Gilbert, if you're watching, get Southern Miss back on the schedule. Great rivalry. In fact, I tell you what, we're going to come down there and we're going to party hard with James.
He's our buddy James in Hattiesburg, Mississippi.
Yeah, he's a great dude. And we will, when the game is going on, we're going to play, you know, we're going to like fight like crazy for our Pirates. But I tell you what, that rivalry is exactly right. We need a home and home. In fact, that's going to lead me to my next topic, Kyle, because you and I love talking about the schedule. I'm going to throw this in on purpose. I didn't ask you this earlier, but you and I talk about it a lot. But if you could, is there like a top five? Is there like a, or games that you want to see on the schedule right now that are not on there that you would say, if I could make you athletic director and you could give me, let's say, okay, I'll give you four okay? Make a non-conference. What would that non-conference be?
Well, I mean, you got to be realistic with it. I mean, I could I could say a home and home with Tennessee, a home and home with Florida. You got to be realistic.
Fantasy, right? Fantasy schedule. I know that, but like realistically, the teams that you say, all right, I'm Kyle Barber. Everybody's like, oh God, the worst sports manager building. The new athletic director at East Carolina. I anoint you the AD. Or you're the scheduling AD.
School that I would contact that I would be interested in playing would be Vanderbilt because it's an SEC brand. Some people may scoff their nose at this. SEC schools, including Vandy, aren't doing a lot of home and homes anymore with Group of Five. I'd do a 2-for-1 with Vandy if they'd be willing to, and I'll tell you why. You get an SEC school in Greenville. You get three chances in an SEC school that's beatable. And it's two trips to Nashville for our fan base.
Absolutely.
You talk about a reasonable trip, a reasonable drive, a great city to visit. There's a lot to do. So Vandy would be a school that I would try to schedule. If they wouldn't do a 2-for-1, I would do – if they wouldn't do a home-and-home, I would do a 2-for-1. Wouldn't be interested in a bye game from Vandy. No. But Vandy would be a school that I'd be interested in playing.
Somebody from the Big 12, like the Big 10 we were talking about earlier, the rumor going around, I hadn't heard any more, Cal, if you have.
The Northwestern rumor, who knows? You know, I've heard anything from, I haven't heard anything else about that recently, but I've heard it was going to be a home and home. I heard it was going to be a bye game, maybe to open their new stadium in Chicago. I don't know, but no, that's not anybody I'd be interested in. You know, well, if they wanted to do a home and home with us, sure. Any Big Ten team I'd be interested in doing a home-and-home right. with. But in terms of schools that I'd really like to play, that's realistic. Another one would be, I would reach out to UCF. They're just now getting in the Big 12. I always like playing them.
What about Cincinnati?
Not as much as UCF. I always like playing UCF. I would reach out to UCF and see if there was any interest in doing a home-and-home. Maybe there is, maybe there isn't. Southern Miss is somebody that I would definitely do a home and home with, and that would easily get done. They would want to do it. We would want to do it. That would be easy. It shows, Gilbert, he was at both places, and I don't think he gets either place. The reason Gilbert's not going to do that is it's not a name brand school, or it's a name brand, but it's not a Power Five school, and they're not regional enough for him to do it. But yes, Southern Miss is somebody I would definitely look into scheduling if I was making the schedules. Maryland is another school I would talk to. Because they
DC market.
Well, they play in the Big Ten now, so they don't get down this way as much. I don't know, how much non-conference ACC scheduling they're doing. Again, a 2-for-1 type deal, neutral site game. Well, let's play them in the Redskins Stadium. I would talk to Maryland to see if they had any interest. There's several schools I would talk to. We had one on the schedule, Boise State, and we decided to drop it because I don't really know why.
Confer scheduled that. Confer, he did a great job scheduling. I've got to give the guy.
He did. He got Wake Forest, he got Boise, he got BYU. Well, I think Holland initially got BYU. But, Boise is somebody we had on the schedule and dropped for some damn reason.
And then they go and they get a series with Notre Dame. I mean, I'm like – can we get
an
Appalachian State? Thank you. Yeah, I was getting
ready. Which is so embarrassing. And I have no problem with playing Coastal, but why drop Boise to play Coastal? Let's play them both.
He said, Skip said they dropped us. The deal is, Skip, here's the deal. I'll tell you that. I've heard that, but here's the deal. I know that.
You got to agree to it. Look, they can try to drop us. They can buy it out, but you can fight that.
Not only that, but Coach Houston didn't want to go to Boise. I do remember him making a line about, going to Boise or whatever. The thing is, people have to understand. Let me just say this real quick, Kyle, and then we'll get back to the schedule thing. East Carolina, and I'm not going to go on a long tangent, I promise, is a national – yes, I said a national brand. Boise, national brand. If you're a college football fan, you know East Carolina – and Boise. Yes, Boise, Idaho is not like a metropolitan. I mean, I'm not making fun of Boise, but it's not what people would say, you know, like this best place to go or visit. Well, or whatever.
To me, it's comparable to BYU. Now, BYU's in the Big 12 now, but at the time they weren't. But, you know, my favorite win of the Mike Houston era was at BYU on a Friday night in front of a national TV audience where everybody was watching from coast to coast. And Boise gives you the same kind of eyeballs, right. Maybe not to the degree of BYU, but, you know, you good chance that game would be on a Friday night. And, you know, you're playing out in Boise. You know what? And not only that, Boise has to had to come to Greenville too.
Right.
So it would have went both ways. But anyway.
Yeah. So that let's talk about, you know, fan bases. I know Skip, he's talking. Let's see. He had in here, people are talking about Marshall.
Marshall's another one that we had another game on the schedule and we dropped. You know, they owed us a home game. We had another game up there. And so instead of, I don't know what happened with that. I would have thought, you know, we would have worked out something to get them to come to Greenville for another trip. Instead of, we just dropped the damn series.
Marshall's iconic. That's another like Southern Miss. Yes, Marshall is not the name brand as far as other schools, but it's still a regional game, and there's history there. The fan base.
Well, we didn't get to play the 50th anniversary game in 2020 yep. because of COVID. So the 60th anniversary is in 2030. You know, why yep. has that not been scheduled?
No doubt. People are talking about JMU. I think that would be a great game.
That's an easy one to schedule. I would imagine there'd be a lot of interest on both parts or on. McLean, certainly, if we're interested, JMU would definitely be interested.
What about Georgia State?
Well, we already have a home and home with Georgia State.
Yeah,
maybe Georgia Southern wouldn't be bad. But again, this is easy. I mean, any of these Sun Belt schools, you know, if we want to play them, we can get them.
Brandon says return game with Michigan. That was just a bye game, Brandon. We're not going to get a home and home with Penn State or Pitt, but those are Penn State and Pitt are great football schools, and we've played them in the past, and definitely need to look. Another point I was going to make is there's 133 in the FBS now.
Yeah.
And so I believe that's right off the top of my head. And with there being 133 schools, we know that the Power Five, it's difficult to schedule. We're not arguing.
Power Four is what it is now.
Yeah. But there's still enough schools that, you know, hey, Kyle, you're a guy. I really like the MAC. I think it's a very underrated conference. I have no issues playing. We played Ohio in the past. I think it was 96. But we played them in the past, and I like, you know, those schools, and I think they're very underrated. That would be kind of fun to see.
I don't see that happening. With as many schools now in the Sun Belt and the Conference USA that are closer by, you know, you got schools like Valdosta State, but oh God, who's moving up? Moving up this year. Somebody help me out in Georgia.
You got me on that one.
Kennesaw State's joining Conference USA. So there's another FBS program in Georgia. You got Jacksonville State in Eastern Alabama. You know, moved up last year with Rich Rodriguez as head coach.
Rich Rod.
So I don't think we'll see any games against MAC schools and anytime soon. There's too many schools, you know, closer by in the South that we can play at the, you know, the Group of Five level.
Oh, thank you, John. He says it's 100. Okay, 134. Thank you. I guess that's what the is it Kennesaw. Yeah, thank you, John. Now you're not picking on me. I appreciate that. That's why, like we were saying earlier, that I'm not a talking head where I pretend to know everything. You guys know a lot more than I'll ever know. So I appreciate that very much. In fact, one question I have for you, Kyle, is Elliot was asking. He says to me. And you, Kyle, can you address the late games? Most are 6, 7, or 8. What do you think? He wants to know, do you think it's better? What his question is to the audience, do you think it's better to have the early games or the night games?
Well, I think early in the season, late games are best for weather reasons. So, you know, I know Norfolk State's going to be, I believe, a 6 o'clock kickoff.
Yep.
App State's a 4 o'clock kickoff. So it's dictated by TV. Unless the game's on ESPN Plus, then we have some leeway. So like with the App State game being a 4 o'clock kickoff, I'm sure we would rather kick that off at 6 or 7, but it's going to be on ESPNU. So you're going to be on television, and 4 o'clock's late enough in the day. It ain't like it's a 12 o'clock kickoff, but, I think late games are great early in the year. Late in the year, maybe not as much, but TV really dictates kickoff. Yep. So, in what way are you asking that question? Are you asking, do you think it hurts or affects attendance negatively or positively?
Maybe talk about the, like, winning and losing games is the way I took it. Maybe I'm wrong on that, but
winning and losing games, I had both teams play at the same time. In theory, the old rule of thumb is
noon game, right?
Well, no, the old rule of thumb is you want to play at night at home and you want to play early on the road because you don't want to have to sit around that hotel, right, an unfamiliar hotel all day. So the old rule of thumb is you'd rather play early on the road and
about
at night at home.
Does it help or hurt attendance is what it is. So you were right.
I think it depends on the time of year, Elliot. I think late games early in the year definitely help attendance.
Skip says TV, right? Game conditions, who's in better shape?
What was the question again?
He's adding on to what we're talking about, the early games or late games as far as
put it back on the screen.
Okay.
TV, right? Game conditions, who's in better shape? Okay.
we'll move right along. But as far as the games are concerned, I mean, you certainly we talk about reference that was it 2012-13, that App State game where 2012 that I think the hottest kickoff was 95. I think it was 95 degrees on that day, and there was 400 people that literally passed out.
That game was hell. We've talked about the game a lot. Jessica went down, my wife went down underneath the stadium for the whole second half of that game. Only time she's ever done that. I remember, I've told this before, they had those 1 liter bottles of water for sale, and I was going around, so many people were leaving, and I was taking the half drinking bottles of water and just pouring them over my head and soaking my shirt.
Yeah.
And about 30 minutes later, I'd be dry, and I'd grab another one and just pour it over me. So it was that game was brutal, but Pirates won. So, hey, I'll take another game that hot as long as we win.
Yeah, he was talking about, McLean was talking about 2005, that Duke game wasn't play. I was there, too.
You know what? I don't remember.
Yeah, wasn't it bad?
I was young. I was in much better shape in 05 than I was in 2012, let alone today. Good God. But in 05, you know, I was 24 years old, about to be 25, and a spry young man. And I don't remember. My wife just laughed at that one. I don't remember that game being overly hot, but I'm sure it was. It was just I was in good shape at that point, so it didn't bother me. And great, God, what a great memory of that game. Just the feeling that game had with Skip coming in there, playing an ACC opponent, beating Duke. It was just – it felt like Pirate football was back, and it was.
You're right about that. He says that people were passing out like crazy at that Duke game. I don't remember that.
I don't remember that either. I'm not saying you're making that up, but I don't remember it either. I can remember early in the game, and maybe that's what he's talking about. I can kind of remember early in the game seeing some students passing out from maybe a little early tailgating, getting drunk, coming in. It was hot. That was a 12 o'clock kickoff on what was then called CSTV, is now CBS Sports Network.
I forgot about that.
That was
CSTV.
That was our first ever game on CSTV.
Yeah, and, you know, speaking of which, Duke is a team. I wanted to ask you this question, Kyle. If you guys, or maybe put this out to anyone, heard any more about the legislation for NC, since we're talking about scheduling, too.
I heard it's bad.
Yeah. And you know what? I think I hate for, and Kyle, I know you and I agree on this. We don't want to see politics involved. However,
don't bother me one bit.
No. I know that normally. I'm just saying in this particular case, what I'm saying is that the teams should, in a perfect world, should schedule us because it makes perfect sense. However, you know, they have this elitist attitude because we're the ACC. And, you know, you have Duke won't play us. North Carolina won't play us. Now, Wake is going back on the schedule, which is very cool. The very first game in Dowdy in Ficklin Stadium at the time, by the way. And that was cool. We got them back. Duke, my understanding is, Kyle, Duke will play us. We can go to Wallace Wade. The problem is they won't come to Dowdy Ficklin. Is yeah, what I've heard.
If we do
bye games, we're not doing a.
Let me say on behalf of Pirate Nation about a bye game to Duke. Duke, you can kiss my fat ass.
You know, it's like, what in the world are you talking about? You know, here's a team, and
I mean, we take over the effing stadium. I mean, it would be Dowdy Ficklin Stadium at Wallace Wade.
Yeah.
So we, you know, we'd pack the stadium. But no, hell no.
Elliot says, Kyle, one main question. If for some reason we go 6-6 or have a losing season, is Houston gone? I just want to jinx this. I just want your opinion.
Losing season, yeah, absolutely. 6-6, I think it depends. Correct. I think if we start off 1-5 and then win 5 in a row, finish red hot to go 6-6, then no, I don't think he's gone. We go to a bowl game and win it, finish 7-6, no. If we start off hot, then trail off towards the end of the year, and it's not because of a bunch of injuries and end up 6-6, or if we're just 50-50 every other week and end up 6-6, then he may be gone. But yeah, if we have a losing season, he's gone.
Okay. McLean said he agrees about the whole Duke situation. He said, agree to buy a game to fill their stadium. F off.
Exactly. Exactly.
I'm not beating up on Duke. I just thought that was unbelievable. The Duke situation, you would think that they would be Duke and Wake would be the two teams that would play us. The State and Carolina thing we get because it's happened before. And all of a sudden now Duke won't play us. And, you know.
Duke hasn't played us in a while.
No.
It's not all of a sudden. It's been a while. In fact, I remember this with Wake. This is actually with Wake. I remember this. When Wake wouldn't play us for a while, Holland had tried to get them back on the schedule, and they offered us a 2-for-1. Wake, I mean. But,
yeah.
No, Duke. At some point, maybe they will play us again. Who knows? But as of right now, they don't. So,
North Carolina has lost to us 3 straight times, and that's why they won't play us. And that's exactly why they're looking for give me games. And everybody knows the East Carolina, yes, last year struggled, but I will say this: we are not a give me team, and they want to have that. In fact, Elliot says this. Dave Doran said 2 years ago he saw no reason to play us. Well, that tells you a lot about Dave Doran, because I'll keep my personal feelings to myself, my personal experience with him. But I will tell you that Dave Doran knows better, that the East Carolina, and Logan said it best, he would have the last game of the season should be East Carolina, or the first game of the season, rather, should be East Carolina and NC State every single year. And he was talking about for many.
I'll say this. I don't mean to cut you off, Dave.
No, you're fine.
I'll say this. And this is the attitude we need to have. And this is what we need to do. The greatest period in East Carolina football history, arguably, was that era from 91 through about 96. And we played NC State in the Peach Bowl. Besides that, we didn't play them again in the regular season until 96. We didn't play North Carolina at all in the 90s. We played Duke very sporadically. We played Wake very sporadically. We don't have to play them to be successful.
Right.
We need to start winning and winning at a high level. And when we start winning at a high level again, then we'll force some of these games, whether it's in bowl games or because they become appealing now. When, this is something that people need to realize. I don't know how long it's going to stay this way with the new format, but, you know, if we win the American, we're going to have a chance to go to the playoffs in the current format. Again, who knows how long it'll last with the 12-team playoff, where, you know, you're going to have the 5 or 6 highest-ranked conference champions, and one of them will be somebody from the group of 5. But let's say ECU does go – let's say we just hit on all cylinders this year and go 11 or 12-1, and we are in the playoff. Mm-hmm. Now, don't you think all of a sudden now NC State and UNC might go, you know what, we might want to start playing them to make sure they don't go undefeated or 11-1.
Right.
Because we start making the playoffs, all of a sudden that's going to be an issue for them. So, and people are laughing at that right now, probably. But look, Appalachian State or East Carolina or Liberty or JMU or Boise, somebody is making the playoffs this year.
That's, isn't that crazy? this is, I know this is a pipe dream, Kyle, but what would you do if we went last year, we go 2-10, and then the next year, and then this year we go in 2024, we make it to the playoffs. I mean,
it would be the greatest story in college. It would be one of the greatest stories in college football history.
I don't think it's happening, but I just said
it. No, I don't think it's happening either, but I mean, it is a possibility. It has been a
possibility.
It never has been before, and it is now.
Yeah, great point, Elliot. When UNC and State comes to Greenville, Dave, the stadium is always sold out every single time. I think
more importantly, when East Carolina goes to Raleigh or Chapel Hill, the stadium's always sold out.
Right, and same thing for Duke. You know, all the stadiums, Wake, when we go to Wake, that's going to be the case. And what it amounts to is that it's good for, you know, like people talked about with the state legislators. I give them credit, man. They were talking about it's great for the economy. In fact, I believe off the top of my head, and I need to check on this, but at one time in the last few years, I was told that East Carolina brings in $2 million for every home game to Greenville. How about that? That's the economic impact with hotels, restaurants, gas, the whole nine yards, $2 million per game. Our good friend Trent McGee, the director for the Chamber of Pitt Greenville Chamber of Commerce, I'll have to ask him about that. I'll try to find out this week. But that was the last time I heard that as far as how much Greenville makes a home game, $2 million. So just imagine that. But Kyle, it's great talking football with you, man. Do you have anything, other topics you want to talk about tonight?
No, Dave, that's pretty much it. You know, as we sit here at, I guess it's still early July. I was about to say mid-July, but we said early July.
Days, man. Almost 55 days to kick out, hard to believe, less than
two. Yeah, and actually practice starts at the end of this month. I believe they report to practice the last day of July this year for camp. So, I guess technically camp starts this month, if I'm not mistaken. I'm pretty sure it's the last day of the month is when they report.
Okay, James has a question for you. If none of the other G5 conferences qualify, who gets the playoffs in this scenario between an 11-1 Sun Belt champ or an 11-1 AAC champ, an American champ, or Sun Belt?
If none of the other, okay. It's going to depend. It's going to depend on
the schedule, maybe?
The schedule. I think who the team is also. Let's say it's East Carolina wins the American and App State wins the Sun Belt, and App has to win over East Carolina, and that's App's only loss. You would hope that's App's only loss. It should be us. We beat App. If it's the other way around,
I'm sorry.
Yeah, but I guess it just depends. It depends on a lot. There's a lot of variables. Who's got the stronger non-conference schedule of the two champions? That's not a black and white question.
He's saying Skip is saying points, power rankings.
Yeah, of course. It's not a black and white question.
Elliot says people in seats come bearing money and a packed house and other fanfare for the North Carolina State generated an estimated $4.5 million for Greenville's economy.
Yeah, I mean, that's great.
Skip said they'll do everything they can to get Notre Dame in. I guess he's talking about the ACC.
Yeah, but that's not going to take away from
I see what he means. He's talking about the playoff. I beg your pardon on that.
But that's not going to take away from a group of five. One of us are getting in.
And Elliot said that's according to Andrew Schmidt, the president and CEO of the Greenville Convention and Visitors Bureau. But that was great. Skip says in the playoff.
Notre Dame can be in the playoff all they want. But it's not gonna affect. I'm not saying you're saying it would affect the Group of Five spot, but yeah, I'm if Notre Dame goes 10-2, they'll probably be in the playoffs.
Yep. And you know, it's that
then brand. Again, I don't know. It may be every damn school in the SEC.
We'll see, man. We'll see how it, and you're right about one thing, Kyle, not one thing, but the particular thing you were talking about with, if, East Carolina makes it and State doesn't, or Carolina doesn't, then all of a sudden, if we get in and you talked about this, you made a great point. Well, it was probably about 3 years ago. We were talking about the playoffs and you said that we actually have an easier chance, which is obvious, to make the playoff than they do, being NC State and North Carolina, because you're playing Clemson. You've got the Notre Dame on the schedule.
Florida State
on the schedule.
Yeah. I don't know how long this format will last. I think there's a split coming. I've said it before. I'll say it again. But as of right now, yeah, I believe realistically we do have a better chance of making the playoffs in this current format than NC State or UNC.
Brandon says, how well do you think Alabama will do with their new coach?
I haven't given it much thought. He's a good coach, did a good job at Washington. You're replacing a legend with Nick Saban, although Nick admittedly was not feeling this current landscape of college football. So I think he'll do well. He did well at Washington. I think he'll do well there. He's very businesslike, very much like Saban from that aspect of being businesslike, but also completely different personality-wise. But I think he'll do fine.
Irving says, kind of related to Duke, Coach K had high praise for East Carolina fans after Jeff Lebo's upset bid and eventual loss. ECU fans are great. Well, that's true. I think there are a lot of coaches that, you know, when you see the fan base and you see the name East Carolina, you don't realize the support, because a lot of times I think the coaches, there's some that do know, but I think there's some that don't realize in the big scheme of things just how big our fan base really is. Now, here's a question for you. I know the answer that Kyle is going to say, and I'm going to say the same answer to this question, but I'm going to give it to Kyle. Elliot says, are we ever going to the ACC? Skip already answered that question. but I don't think so.
I know why you're asking, because, you know, if Clemson leaves, if Florida State leaves, the Big Ten, I guess it depends on how many teams leave.
I've heard
my hunch would be they're going to expand west because of Stanford and Cal and SMU. But let's say Florida State and Clemson go to the SEC, and let's say UNC and UVA
Duke
go to the Big Ten, and then we go to the Big Ten, and or Duke, or let's say two to the SEC, four to the Big Ten, or four to the SEC and four to the Big Ten. Then does the Big 12 pick who they want at that point? Does NC State, does Louisville, does whoever? So if the ACC ends up like the Big East was, with four teams left, something like that, or like the Pac-12 with like four teams left, then at that point, yeah, I could see us getting in. You know, if it's us and Wake Forest and Syracuse and, you know, maybe Boston College and
right.
I don't know who the hell the fourth team would be, but pick somebody.
Virginia Tech.
Yeah, at that point, yeah, maybe. But that's the only way I see it happening.
Yeah, basically, if UNC and State go, and then obviously I think Duke would probably go, then I think it comes down to if there's only one team left on Tobacco Road, that being Wake Forest is the scenario that I see, then yes, I think, East Carolina. In fact, there was an article a few weeks ago, but basically in one of those contingency plans, Memphis and East Carolina were two of the teams that are like on the radar, but in other words, it's not like East Carolina, don't get me wrong, it's not like East Carolina is one of those teams are going, yes, we got to have East Carolina in their poaching.
Oh, we better start winning, because Appalachian's winning at a high level, and Charlotte is now Charlotte is right here with an unbelievable media market. And you mentioned Liberty again. You know, Liberty may end up having to do things the independent route to get to the highest level they want to get to. I know they went to Conference USA for the time being because of the new playoff format.
Yep.
But they're still, because of what they are, there's still a lot of people that are never going to want to be associated with them. In my opinion, we should invite them into the American. I don't really give a crap about their politics and religious beliefs. I just think that they're going to compete for that Group of Five playoff spot and the new playoff format every year. They're going to be a problem. Last year, they were the New Year's Six representation, and they got a good chance to get the playoff spot this year. They're going to dominate Conference USA. I would invite Liberty into the American immediately.
Yeah, and it's a great, but they are good in basketball. Good. And look, the thing about Liberty that people don't understand, they hear that word, right? Liberty, right? They don't understand some, not to say all, the people that watch and listen to our show know. So I'm not talking to you. Just talking to general college football fans and college fans, they don't understand how much money Liberty has. Liberty has a boatload of money, and that's great for our conference. I think I would.
They're going to be a problem. They're going to keep winning Conference USA and keep contending for what was the New Year's Six, now the playoff spot, every year. So you might as well have them in your league.
No doubt about it. But, you know, that strengthens our league. And, you know, we talk about this all the time, Kyle, about as far as the TV money, having a Liberty that's winning all the time. You make a great point about TV markets. Well, I don't care about what TV market. I don't even know what TV market Lynchburg, Virginia is in. That's right. It's Roanoke. Thank you. The Roanoke market. I don't even know what number that is, what television market, but I can tell you one thing, Liberty, when it comes down to it, they're always going to have top facilities. They have a huge fan base. And not just speaking them up. I really think, I'm going to that game September the 21st. I'll be there. I think it's a great game. It's an easy drive, 4 hours away. There's a lot of drivable games on the schedule, as we talked about. And so I like that series. I'm glad we have it. And yes, it's going to be a tough game, but if you're a competitor and you believe in Mike Houston, you believe in this program, if we play a whole bunch of easy games, then, you know, that's tough for our program to argue.
Well, if you have some of our dumbass fans, that is an easy game.
Right. No, I don't. I'm not one of those. I'm not going up there expecting – we want to win, obviously, but I'm saying it's not a give-me game. In fact, you have a lot of –
not.
Right. And you have a lot of 50 – I don't see that as a 50-50 game. I would
they're going to be favored. Now, who knows at that point in the season if we're 3-0, just beat Appalachian, who knows? But that's right. Also another thing. We're going to be coming off of an emotional game, win or lose. We're coming off that app game. I don't know who Liberty plays the week before us. Probably Governor Moorhead School of the Blind, but you know I looked at the Liberty schedule, just not very strong normally.
No doubt about it. We'll see how it plays out. But I tell you one thing, I'm fired up about it. And one of the things, Kyle, if what we've heard about John David Baker's offense, if they put up 35 to 40 points a game with that defense, then if we average that, then John David Baker, we can put a monument outside of Dowdy Ficklin, because that means we're going to have a good chance to have a miracle season, or really the best season.
Phil Steele says we improve by double digits points per game. So, a lot of people, you know, JDB, a lot of people who see the next Lincoln Riley. Time will tell. We're going back to an air raid style system. Going to be moving fast, so it'll be fun to watch.
I can't wait. And again, 55 days almost here before we have the kickoff. And Kyle, are you as far as you've got your season tickets? You're locked in. You're ready. Are you going to join us this year for our tailgate? We're going to try really hard to. We're working on the conversion van right now. And a lot of cool stuff. It would be great.
I just hope I am healed up enough by the time we play Norfolk State August 31st that I am at the game and not watching it on TV, because if we were playing today, I'd be watching it on TV. So I just hope I'm held up enough, and I'm too sure I will be, but to be at the ball game. What have I got? I got 55 days.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think I'm supposed to be out of work 6 weeks. So we'll see.
Justin, is that what you're saying as far as their schedule for Liberty, Campbell, North, New Mexico State, and UTEP? Or are you saying UTEP is the next game after? Okay, I see. UTEP, just what John is saying, the game before. UTEP is playing Liberty before us. They're their opponent.
Okay. Is it in El Paso, or is it, you know, that's a long trip if it's in El Paso?
He said Liberty could come in. Justin's saying 3-0.
Yeah, they should be 3-0 based on that. They play two conference games early, but is it in El Paso? Because that is a long trip back.
God knows that's long. That's Waco, man. That's like, I mean, El Paso.
El Paso.
God knows. I was thinking about
Baylor.
Baylor. yeah, that's going to be that we'll see about that. UTEP is at Liberty. Okay.
Well, of course. They'll be 3-0. So
that's a home game. Well, hey, stranger things have happened, man. That's why we had to play the games. And
I hope they're 3-0.
Yeah, that would be great. So if we beat them, if we're 3-0 and they're 3-0.
Look, if they lose to UTEP and then they beat us, that ain't going to be too good.
True that.
New Mexico State was very good last year.
Were they a bowl team last year?
Oh yeah. They won 10, I believe they went 10-2 last year.
I was thinking
Jerry Kill retired because of his epilepsy problems. But their OC took over as head coach, so we'll see how he does in year one. But they had like a 10-win season last year, beat Arkansas.
Crazy, crazy stuff, man. All right. Do you have anything before we go? I know I've kept you. It's 10:30 at night.
No, I'm ready to get off of here. Eat myself something. I ate a very late lunch around 2 o'clock, so I haven't had dinner.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so I'm about to eat a little something for dinner real late and get ready to go to bed.
Well, we'll say this before we go. Two things. One is my nephew Grant is 20 today. We ate at Wasabi 88. The first time. It's awesome. Great atmosphere. I love that. Great restaurant. So it used to be Fuddruckers back in the day, but Wasabi 88, definitely finally got a chance to eat there, and highly recommend. Also, I want to give you a shout out, Kyle. We've been thinking hard about you, man, and pulling hard for you. I know that not easy, and hopefully we can get things. I wish I could speed up things for you, but we're pulling hard for you, man, and I know that you'll be better off on the long run. It's just been a long week or so for you.
Yeah, it's been hell, honestly. Overall, I'm doing way better this Sunday than I was last Sunday, but still got a ways to go. It ain't fun. But I appreciate everybody's kind words, thoughts, prayers, et cetera.
All right. Keep Kyle in your thoughts and prayers, and, certainly he's on the mend, but it's a long and winding road, but we'll have you ready, man. You'll be ready before that first game. I feel confident, and look forward to seeing you at that first game, August 31st, at Pirates and Norfolk State. All right, thanks for, man, a huge show, Kyle, and a lot of people watching and listening. Thank you so much. We'll be back with you very soon, and you never know when we have breaking news. Follow us on all that you see on the screen at The Sports Objective, on X, on TikTok, and of course on Instagram. Like our Facebook page and subscribe to our YouTube channel. Until next time, I'm Dave Richmond, and as always, go Pirates.
You're watching The Sports Objective, the podcast for Pirates.